Today's daf is daf lamed vav. And we got yesterday to explaining what appeared to be a contradiction in Rabbi Meir's approach to Suffolk. We said that when it came to Erevin, Rabbi Meir holds that Erevin are Diraisa, because of the Tumim are Diraisa, therefore we have three Machmer. And when it came to the Halacha of Tuma and so on, so over there, we thought to say that that would be the Nafkamina, and over there it was talking about the Tumid Rabbana. Gemara ended up saying that Lamaisa, the difference is, we have two approaches. According to Rava, we have two Chazokas Vakula when it comes to the Shaila of the Tirith, because we have the Hamed Mesach Eskasa, that he's a Chai, and we have the Hamed Torah Eskasa, that he's a Har. Mashenken, over here we only have, in our case, in the Mishnah, by Erevin, we only have one Chazokah. And because of one Chazokah, we're not going to be able to shake our witnesses Lakanavak. So that's how Rava ended up answering it. But we never pointed out that we have the same problem with Rabbi Yosef. Because as the Gemara says today, Kashi the Rabbi Yosef. Because Rabbi Yosef in the Braisa, it says over here with the case where it's a suffix if the guy was Tovah or not in the Mikveh. And that's talking about the Tumid Rabbonon and Apopikin Rabbi Yosef is Mitami. It's not going to help you to say that he holds the Tchumim and the Rabbonon. Because even if he holds Tchumim and the Rabbonon, why is he being Machmir by the Tchumim? I don't understand. We have by the case of the Tumid Rabbonon, and over there he's Metimes Machmir, and by the Suffolk Eruv he's Mekah. You should be Machmir by the Eruv as well. Answers the Gemara, Omer Ravuna Bachinada. We're up now to the first, actually, second line, Kashi Rabbi Yosef Yosef, Omer Ravuna Bachinada, Shine Tuma Hol Vyeshla Ikrim and Hatera. Since, even though you're right, we're dealing over here with Tumid the Rabbonon, as we said. We're talking about somebody who ate, maybe he drank, Mashkin to me, but nonetheless, at least the concept of Tumah has an Iker Min HaTorah. What do you mean, concept of Tumah? And Shabbos doesn't have an Iker Min HaTorah. I mean, Shabbos time of the Araisa, where there's Tumah the Araisa. Even if you hold that, maybe Alpine Mama isn't the Araisa. But certainly, I mean, there's the concept of Tumah the Araisa. Shabbos for all of the Araisa. There's the Gemara Tzemer, yes, you're Tumah the Rabbonah. Rabbi Yossi holds that there's no Tumah the Araisa. So what are you going to say? That because Shabbos is the Araisa, therefore, Tumah the Yeshua and Iker Min HaTorah, it's not true. There's no comparison between Tumah and Malacha. Tumah the Rabbonah is basically the same concept as a Tumah the Araisa. Except that they were Magda. What new things will be Metame, that didn't have a Tumid Yeraisa power. When it comes to Tchumi, what are you going to say? That the Torah Aser making a fire. And therefore, we're extending that Isser to walking outside of our fire. One has nothing to do with the other. Therefore, we can be Mako when it comes to a Drabonah that has no Mokra with Yeraisa. Mashenkin, when it comes to Tuma, we're going to be Masmir when it comes to being relying on the Chazaka, because in general, Tuma is Yeraisa. Or, there's a simple way out, what we could say is actually that actually, when it says that he's being machmir on a suffik rabbanan over there, that's taka hishita. Whereas the Mishnah that says the suffik eruv is lakula, that's going according to his rebbe, who is avtumus. And dekanavi, if you're medayik, look at the lashon, omer Rav Yossi. Avtumus heid, that suffik eruv kosher. Avtumus was Rav Yossi's rebbe. So if Rav Yossi is quoting over here, avtumus doesn't say anywhere that he holds that necessarily we would be mako based on that. So it could be that Rav Yossi himself in achinami. Same way that he's machmir by Tuma, not to say that we're going to rely now on a chazaka to describe something that we see with Fanenu otherwise, where we have a suffix. So the same thing would be if he had his own say, the same thing would have been by the case of the Mishnah. Here he's quoting of Tumas, not his own Shita. Yes, no Tchumim, right. Rav Amar, Hosam Ainu Taim Rav Yossi HaMeit Tamei Al Cheskato V'Emalo Taval. There's no comparison, says Rava. The case over there, by the reason that he's being machmir by Tuma, is because we only have a chazaka l'chumra. We have no tzad l'kula. In the Mishnah, you have a chazaka l'kula and l'chumra, right? Because you have l'chumra, obviously, the person was in his home. That's his makam shvisa. So the chumra is, until you can prove that that's changed, maintain that situation and have a chazaka that he's not allowed to go chutzakum. But on the other hand, we should say, I made truma al cheskata. The truma that I set up for my Erev was tahar, the time that I set it up. You want to say it became tamei. So over there, it's a drabon, and we'll go lakula, even though we have a contradiction. It's a drabon and lakula. But Shekin, when it comes into the case of the person who was tamei, now the shayla is, did he go to the mikvah? Did he not go to the mikvah? Well, but I will say, we'll maintain his tuma. Emelot taval. What do you mean, emelot taval? He did go into a mikvah. Why don't we say, on the contrary, I don't know, made mikvah cheskato. Emelot chasar. You said, you're not sure if he went into a mikvah that was had arba yimsar, didn't have arba yimsar. No. So it once had arba yimsar, so then it's a kosher mikvah. It's the same thing as the Tuma, the truma. The truma was kosher up until a point. At one point it became tamei because it touched the sheretz. We don't know what that point is. The mikveh was kosher. At one point it leaked out. Now it's not. So we're
It's exactly the same case.
No, says Robert, that's the point. The case of the mikveh, that's your prejudice. Who said that we're talking about a mikveh that was once nimdad and was crushed, and now it's we found a mikveh chotzer lefanenu. That's not the case. It's talking about a mikveh that never had been actually measured. It was assumed to be a kosher mikveh.
Thank you.
Now somebody came and measured it, and it turns out it doesn't have arbor himself. That we don't have a chazaka over here that it ever did have arbor himself. So in the mele, the cases are not necessarily contradictions at all, says Rabbi. Now we begin a new definition of what we mean by Sofik Eruv Kasher. Tani. Ketzad Amar Rabbi Yossi Sofik Eruv Kasher. When Rabbi Yossi said in the Mishnah that a Sofik Eruv is Kasher, don't think that means any Sofik Eruv. Because what he was talking about, let's say it's a case where somebody was Na'arev Betruma. Now the Sofik is Sofik Mibaod Yom Nitme, Sofik Mibesh Kashachan Nitme. So one time it was definitely kosher. Now we have a Sofik when it becomes Tummy. Or have a similar case, Peirot. This is not going to sound like a similar case, and indeed the Gemara is going to change it. But right now we think that it means he wrote that we had a tevel status, and now there's a suffix whether the tikkun of the tevel took place mibaod yom, and therefore it was kosher to make an eruv, or the tikkun of the tevel actually it wasn't daytime anymore when they were metakenet. In which case, at the time that you attempted to use it for an eruv, it wasn't kosher.
So,
I mean, it's not that we're going to use it, but the case is that the guy was metaken, and now we look, I don't know, you sure wasn't already after Ben Hashmasha. So that's a Suffolk Eruv Kasher. But if you start off with a Suffolk, let's say you have two piles of Truma. One is Truma Tamei, one is Truma Tahir. You take from one of the piles, we don't know which one you took from. So now you begin with the Truma in a case of Suffolk Tahira, Suffolk Tamei. Or you begin with the case at the time you take the Perot. You don't know whether they're Tevel or whether they had been Mitukan. V'chein b'Perot, Suffolk Nitkenu, Suffolk Lo Nitkenu. That's not a case of Suffolk Eruv Kasher, because you started off with something that had a Suffolk on its Kashers, L'chatchila. And over there, there never was a heksher, a chazaka of a heksher on your eruv at all. And basically, you started trying to make an eruv with something that wasn't kosher. That's the bottom line. You can't eat this thing. So how can you make an eruv with something that you can't eat? You're saying, well, we can make it. So make it. But right now, what you did with your eruv was not kosher. So certainly, let's not confuse it. It's not the question is, if I have a suffix, anytime there's a suffix, it's kosher. It is if a suffix was nailed on what it was that I had after I made the eruv. Then he says it's a suffix eruv, which is the way we've been understanding, that we're relying basically on the chazaka. Yeah, but the way that you set the cases is ridiculous. Because by the case of Truma, it started off as a good Eruv. Now you're wondering whether the Truma became Tamea. But the case with the Peres, it started off with Tevel. Now you're wondering whether you made it kosher in time. And it's the opposite. So we should say the Chazaka is on the Isser. I don't understand what you're saying. Mishnah Truma. What did you say? The reason that the Truma is kosher, because at the time I made the Eruv, it was kosher. Therefore, I made Truma al Cheskata. Fine, let's assume it's Torah. No. So the same logic should say that a case we started with Peirot of Tevel, the Eruv should not be kosher. So Peirot Nami, Ha'amed Tevel al Cheskato, Ve'ima lo nitkanu, then we should say that you never were Metakein, and in fact it remains Tevel. But what's the logic of the Peirot position? No, sorry, you're right. We said that overall. Lo Tema, Safek mi ba'od yom nitkanu, obviously that would make no sense. On the contrary, we started off with good Peirot. Ela'ima Safek mi ba'od yom nidme'u, Safek mi shekashecha nidme'u. We started with kosher Peirot. And there's two possibilities that we could say. We started with kosher peiros that are tevel, nechulim, and now truma fell into them, so they were nidmu. That's what normally dimuah means. Dimuah means chulin that got mixed with truma. The problem is that the Mishnah before said that you can use truma, even if you're Yisrael, you could use truma that's tahira. Which is difficult to believe that we're talking over here, dafka libet asumcha. Sumcha says truma is not good for Yisrael to make an eruv with. I mean, all of a sudden we should be talking. Not to mention the fact, I mean, what would we say? We'd say maybe, okay, maybe it's talking about a case of a kohen, maybe. That's, I mean, that's deichet, say whatever. That's very weird, even though the Braitha said the Farish, Ma'arvin betruma, that was the other case. So what are you going to say? We switch between a kohen and Yisrael. Because the Ma'arvin betruma was only a case of kohen, because it's going like sumkas. And this case is going like sumkas, talking about Yisrael. And it's a little bit strange. Therefore, it says Tosfos, and Rashi also brings this as a second chat, that the word nidmu here is a borrowed term. It doesn't mean nidmu in truma, because that would be very strange. Start a brisa, starting with the case of kulak truma, where it's kosher, and then to have the next case, and if it got mixed with truma, it's not kosher. So therefore, nidmu over here perhaps means it got mixed with teva. That's not, in other words, it started off with chulin, and now it got mixed up teva with chulin. That's not nidmu, in other words, even though I had been mitakenet, more perot fell in. Maybe that's the meaning. Okay, but in any event, the issue over here is that it became became no good. Not that it became yes good. So therefore, those two cases are the same. Truma that started off tar and then maybe became tamei then, we don't know when. Or Perot that started off as kosher, that had been attacking them. That something fell into them to make them not kosher. And I don't know when. Demais, that's not the correct term. Demais spelled with an aleph. Midmu is spelled with an ayin. You're confusing issues. You nothing to do with each other. Bar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak mirav Huna. Hayu lefanav shtei kikarot. Achat tmeyah ve'achat tora. Here's an interesting quote. You said that if I have a suffix about what it is that I'm using, so if I have something that started off kosher, then if it gets a suffix later, according to Rav Yossi, I rely on the chazak. Fine. If it started off no good, you said even out of suffix. I understand. In that case, Rav Yossi said, not kosher. How about, let me ask you something, how about where you have both kosher and not kosher? And you use both of them. The only problem is you don't know which one is which. That's the problem. So you took like this. You said, I have two kikarot. I know one is a kikar of truma tmeya, one is a kikar of truma tahir. And I said, look, I'm putting these both down. I don't know which one is which. But lamaisa, the tar, bekoma kom shahu, should be my erev. Mahu. So what's the din? And I'm asking this not, you were asking all your questions, what would the din leave the Rav Yossi? I want to know what the din would be on both sides. Whether you hold the Rav Yossi, hold the Rabbi Meir. In other words, I could ask like this. Dibayla Rabbi Meir, Dibayla Rav Yossi. Dibayla Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was the one who was very machmir. And he said if you have a suffix, if the erev was kosher, no good. Okay? But that's only if you have a suffix if you had kosher food here. Over here, you know 100% you have kosher food here. You just don't know what the kosher food was. So maybe Adkan, Lokama Rabbi Meir, Hatab, Deleka, Tahira. You don't have kosher truma. Okay, over there, I understand, he says, man. So if that's the case, maybe you didn't have an Arab at all, but hakayika tahira. Over here, I do have kosher truma. Or maybe I can say the opposite. Even Rav Yossi, who normally is makel on the Arab, that's because if it turns out that lamaisa is tahar, I know what it is that my Arab is. This is my Arab. My Arab started off tahar. Now, there's a question whether it's tahar. He says, okay, I'm in a chaskata. So over there, in ita di Torah, on the tzad, that it's tahar. And I'm relying on that chazaka. So yadala, I know now what my Erev is. Over here, what are you going to say? My Erev is this. This may be Badai not kosher. So how can you say this is your Erev? Omarlay answered Rav Huna to Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. None of this is relevant. Because Bein la Rav Yossi, Bein la Rabbi Meir, Bi'inan se'uda haru'uyam iba'od yom. Valeka. It's still very nice, the theories. The bottom line is, in order to make an Erev, the food has to be edible. And over here, you used food which wasn't edible. What are you going to eat? You got nothing to eat. How can you make an Erev out of something that you don't have to eat? Therefore, everybody would be mud. It doesn't start. There's no Erev here. The case of Rabbi Meir, where it's Chamar Gamal, maybe it is an Erev, maybe it's not an Erev. That's because maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But over here, Bada, it isn't. Because we know for sure that you can't eat it when you put it down, and therefore you're back home without any even Sveikot. There's no Sveikot here. Of course. No, but the Chazaka, when I set it down, I had a kosher error. Now you want to say something went wrong. Fine, okay. But Lamaisa, I'm assuming, Lagabi, this halacha, that what I set down, it still remains a kosher suada. Over here, I began with the equivalent case of Suffolk Truma, where we said, well, because you never said a case like that, isn't it? Well, may Rava Mirav Nachman. I got an interesting case as Rava. How about, where you have a kikar, and it's regular chulin, should be kosher for an Arab, and you say, I want this thing to become Kadesh tomorrow. So when Shabbos, when tomorrow begins, then this should be kaid. But today it's chol. And then he says, okay, now use this to make me an Arab. What do we say? Mal. Omar le Eruv le Eruv. The Arab is a kosher Arab. Because when the Arab is chal, beinash mashot. Hashenkin over here. I mean, what would be the svara to say, if I mean, lechor, whatever Shabbos is, the Arab is, no? The Arab becomes kaidah. So how could, I mean, it seems to be contradictory.
What is
Arab Shabbos. No. Lechor, he's saying, as soon as Shabbos is chal, become hegdash. But becomes hegdash, it's not really for an Arab. Right. So I don't know anything about that. I'm sure I'm wrong. So what are we going to say?
When is the Hegdash called?
He says, I want the Hegdash to be Chal on Shabbos.
As soon as Shabbos
is hit. Maybe that's part of the question. That's how the Kazanish learns the question. The way you learn. The thing over here is, I mean, the way one would have thought of it is that Be'ash Mashot is a Safik. So the Gabi Erev, that's when you're kind of the Erev. But, I mean, a Safik, we'd have to go to Chumra, and then it's Hegdash. If it's Hegdash, then you can't eat it. So then the Monif Shabbos. You made your Erev with something that's inedible. Instead, we seem to be said it's a kosher Erev. So what does that mean? Either it means, the way Scott was saying, that apparently the person was loy nochtal sveika. He wasn't. He means when it's Shabbos. When I know it's Shabbos, then I want it to be happy. He's not talking in terms of technicalities. Maybe that's an approach. Or Mashmut in Rashi is that the approach is that since its status is currently chulin, and you want to be meitzi it from its status of chulin, so it remains chulin until such a time as it becomes hegdish. So when does it become hegdish? When it's vada? Right now it has a cheskas chulin. Mashenka, when it comes to the erev, the suffix, but that's where the Erev Yischal is Beit HaShemesh. So he told him, okay, it's good. He says, okay, how about the other way around? How about I have something that's Kedesh today? I'm going to be Paydead right now, but I don't want the Pinyon to be Chal until Shabbat. So now he says, make an Erev with this. The Pinyon should be Chal on. What's the din? So he's told him, Amar Leh, ain't Erev Erev. In that case, it's not a good Erev. Amar Leh, Maishna. I understand, what's the difference? I mean, what's the difference? If we say Stam, it's an Indian of Chazaka, I mean, it's obvious what the difference is, no? So Chazanish learns that, as I said, the way Scott explained it, that the question over here is, if the person doesn't want a situation of suffix in his mind, that's just saying. So in other words, what he would be saying is, in his own mind, that, look, you know, as soon as I get rid of the Kedusha, that's when I want it to be off. I don't want to get into situations. Maybe it's Kedusha, maybe it's not Kedusha. It's no longer Kedusha. Yeah, strange. Okay, I'll give you your answer, but first you have to measure me out a little bit of salt to bring me a cup of tea or something. Then I'll tell you the answer. Since now you have a suffix, the suffix does not create kedusha. You have to have a kedusha now fall on it. Kedusha doesn't fall mitzad suffix. Mashenkin, the other way around, if you're telling me hayom kodesh and the pidyon should be chalamachar, the misveka lo pokele kedusha. Mitzad suffix, kedusha doesn't disappear. Doesn't go away, and therefore, when it comes now to the kashrus of the Eruv, there's no way to be matur. See, vaday, even if you want to learn the way Scott was explaining it, maybe the meaning of Lenochsa Lusheka is that the guy wants everything absolutely clear, meaning I want to wait until definitely it's tomorrow. If that's the case, then it remains kedus. He doesn't want it to be called during Zayin. It's not us. Lagin Tvuyom, another very cute case. A guy has pictures that he was table in a mikveh, but the problem is that now they're still tamei because they're Tvuyom. Until nightfall. So now, if you have something in there that's going to be makabel tuma from a tzvul yom, such as tuma, you're going to be in big trouble. The only thing is, this guy doesn't have anything else to take off his wine. He's got some meiser. He needs to take off truma's meiser. So he puts the truma's meiser in these lugin. And he says like this, as soon as it's nighttime, so then these lugin won't be tame. That's when the chalois of the truma, of the truma's meiser should be chal. Then I won't have a problem with tuma and the truma's meiser, and I'll be able to drink the wine. Nice chal. That way you don't have to wait till night. Takes off his truma. Now. Pictures are tummy. He puts them in the mikveh. Takes them out of the mikveh. The pictures are now tful yom until sunset.
A picture becomes tful yom?
It sure does. If it went to the mikveh. Otherwise it stays tummy. Now you know.
And he put it in while it was still
tful
yom.
That's true.
Anything that you're tovel, that was the type of tuma that, you know, remains on you. You have to wait till Harav Shemesh. So now he wants to use these pictures for his wine. So he puts his wine in it. Right now it's chulin wine, and it's meiser, but meiser is chulin according to the way we pass it. And he says, okay, as soon as it becomes now nighttime, that's when I want the trumas meiser to be chal, and it'll be in these pictures. And he says, v'orma hareza trumas meiser lekedushin tepechashem. Let the trumas meiser be chal when it gets dark. V'rov kayamim. So then that's fine. If he says v'im amar irvuli b'zeh, he says I want you to use this now as an erev for me. He doesn't have, since Lamaisa Ben Hashmashot over here, by definition, it's not dependent on what he wants. It's dependent on the halacha of when it becomes tar. Because he's saying, as soon as it becomes tar, mitzad adin, so that's when I want my trumas maiser to be chal. So then the problem is that since we're going to have the same suffix there, we can't say it depends on his thinking. So that means when Ben Hashmashot came, the first instant of Shabbat, so we have now, that instant it was still tevel, that's for sure. Wasn't chal an instant before? Says Rava, that shows. Amar Rava, Zotomeret. So Hayom Kone Eruv. The minute of the kinyan of the Eruv is the last minute of the day of Erev Shabbat. And at that minute, it's not kosher. In other words, to say that at the first minute of Shabbos it's kosher is not good enough. It has to be the last minute of Erev Shabbos. That it's whatever that minute, in other words, whatever becomes Shabbos becomes not kosher to eat. It's a suffix. Whenever the moment is that makes it Shabbos, it's kosher. Makes no difference. Because whenever Erev Shemesh is when Shabbos is. I don't have to give you the psak. I don't have to be a boki to know that Zenich Maz Vezayotse. I don't need to know anything. All I need to know is that if at the instant Shabbos is chal, then the Torah says Shabbos is chal when it's night. But the Torah also says that this thing is Torah at night. And I said, look, I'm a simple guy, Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't know night, day, nothing. You make up your mind, which is night, which is day. The moment it becomes Shabbos, it's night. At that moment, it's a kosher drink of wine. I have a good Erev. Says it, it's no good Erev. Why not? The first minute Shabbos was chal, that's my Mokum Shvisa. Teretz is, my Mokum Shvisa, I have to have a minute before Shabbos, not on Shabbos. Therefore, says Rava, you seem to see from this Braita that the Tana holds that an Erev is not good enough to be kosher at the first instant of Shabbos. An Erev has to be kosher an instant before Shabbos. And that, obviously, is impossible, because by definition, an instant before Shabbos, in this case, it would have to be Teva, because otherwise I would be Metamiyat. And that was the whole point of my tonight. I'm saying it makes no difference what it means. Because the suffix of the Eruv is the same thing as the suffix of the Shabbos.
I was saying, had he meant that, then it could be almost...
But he doesn't mean. I'm saying that's the point. He doesn't mean. He means the first minute it could be Chal, let it be Chal. The first minute it could be Chal is Shabbos.
Had he said, I want anything to Chal, when I suppose it would be...
So then it would be Metameit. Then it would be suffix Tomei. He doesn't know whether now it's Tahar or not. Right? He doesn't know whether there was in fact any. So Amar Rav is a Tomer. So Fayom, Koneh Eruv. So Fayom, the last minute. The sunset that we call the beginning, the beginning of Bein HaShemashot, obviously Machlokas or Bein HaTamid, but what we call the beginning of Bein HaShemashot, you'd say is good enough for an Erev, but it's not good enough for an Erev Shabbos, right? That's the last minute of Erev Shabbos. If I wanted to be Chal, I'd be Chal before what we call Shkia. So an instant before Shkia, was it kosher to eat? No? Forget it. So Zot Amaret, Sofa Yom Kone Eruv. You need the last minute before Shkia on Erev Shabbos to have your kosher Erev. Because Isak, that's Chilas Yom Kone Eruv. You're going to tell me the first minute of Shabbos is when I have the Erev. So what's the problem over here? So then Yomar Yuvuli Bezeh, Amai Lo Amar Kum. I don't get it. Why is he saying nothing? The first minute of Shabbos, and then you have a kosher Erev. Now obviously we have time in between this. Because the first minute of Shabbos is the end of Bein HaShemashot. The last minute of Friday is the beginning of Bein HaShemashot. It's an instant before Bein HaShemashot. The first moment of Shabbos is the end of the Suffolk time. That would be the Tchila Shabbos Kena Erev. But at that minute, it was a kosher. Whenever it is, I don't know when that is. I'm Mesotic. Fine, but whatever it is. Omer of Papa, not true. It could well be that actually the last minute of Shabbos, the last minute of Friday, I'm sorry, the first minute of Shabbos is Kena Erev. A few attain the Tchila Shabbos Kena Erev. Nonetheless, did we not see before that the way to define an Erev is something that I could eat on Friday? That's the problem. You're telling me, but theoretically, at the time that I was Kena, my Mokum Shvisa, I had a kosher. Your Erev. That's true. Problem is, you didn't put down your Erev in time. Because at the time that you put down your Erev, you didn't have a kosher Su'uda. A Su'uda that is Chal at the moment that you're Kena your Mokum Shvisa is not a kosher Erev, not because you're not Kena your Mokum Shvisa until Shabbos, but because the din of an Erev is to set down food that is now kosher to eat. That's the problem. If you could have eaten it.
Yeah.
Right. But ain't nothing on me. Your mokum, we'll see what these are big nafkaminas that this will make. Right now it sounds to be an esoteric theoretical distinction. But lamaisa, it makes a big difference for many, many other cases. Here, Tanis Rav Papa makes no nafkamina, whether I look at it in terms of the kashrus of a sudami ba'od yom, which you yourself just said. Bein the Rava, Bein the Rabbi Meir, and Bein the Rabbi Yossi, Bein the Sudak Sher Rabbi ba'od yom. Right? Okay, so that has nothing to do with necessarily what you're carrying here. Matzneh Adam Alei Ruvo. The other thing, now that we're talking about Suffolk, we talked about the chazaka of the Suffolk, when you can rely on a chazaka of the Suffolk. What happens if you have trade with trade and a chazaka? What if you have two chazakas that are against each other? There's all kinds of interesting cases that we finished now from the beginning until this Mishnah. But there's another element of Suffolk in which the Suffolk is dependent on you making up your mind or on some other event. You can have a Suffolk in which you create the Suffolk by creating a condition, and you'll only know the solution when the condition is fulfilled, even if that condition is your own mind. That's also, I don't know how I'm going to decide. So what's the case, what's the halacha over there? Now, obviously, that's dependent in the famous shayla of Yesh Breira. Comes along the Mishnah to say, you can create a condition that is a contradiction. Matna adam alei ruvo. You can make a condition with your Erev, and you could say like this, im bo nochrim mena mizra. Look, we're expecting an attack of goyim. I don't know which way I'm going to have to go, but the IRS is coming into town. Now, if they come from the east, I'm going west. If they come from the west, I'm going east. I don't know where they're coming. Yeah. So therefore, I'll put my Erev in two places. I'm going to put an Erev on the east, I'm going to put an Erev in the west. You say, what do you mean? So then you're not going to be able to walk at all? Because you're going to be misufic. Which one is which? And then you'll have to stay exactly where you're standing right now. No. Because I'm not making them both an Erev, obviously. I'm making one an Erev to be defined. Can you do that?
What precise time is that? That's when you come to the
place. Right now.
Did you say,
right. Retroactively, right now. I don't know the solution, but I'll find out. And when I find out, that will, then I'll know.
You'll be the first to know.
That's right. So that's called Breira. Breira is being able to affect something now, even though you are not aware because of the time lapse. You're not aware, but you will be. More than that, of course, we have to distinguish between you're not aware and could not be aware, because it hasn't happened yet. If you could be aware, but you just don't have the information, that's not considered to be the same as Ein Brera. Now, so let's say the IRS is already here. So you say, okay, but they've cut off the cell phones. I don't know where they are. So wherever they are, I'm going the other way. That's not a Brera. That's 100% kosher tanai. That's not a problem. You made your tanai, and you will find out. That's okay. You don't have to know. The issue here is not your knowing, because it is known. The question is, if it is not known because it has not happened, so then the shaila is whether you can make something dependent on an event that has not taken place, and nonetheless say, the Erev was chal now, it's just that there's a lapse in time until we find out in the past what happened in the future. Of course, it's a lapse going in the wrong direction, but we'll get there. So we'll find out when we get there. So that's the question of Brera. Asserts now the Tana of our Mishnah that there's no problem in making a contradictory Erev. So that if the Nochrim end up showing up on the east, you're going west. If they end up showing up on the Maharav, you're going east. As a matter of fact, you could throw in an additional condition. If they come to both places, I should be able to make up my mind at that time. And when I make it up at that time, I will then find out when my Erev was today. Because my mind is also something I don't know until it happens.
To decide which would be safer.
Yeah, I got to figure out.
Can you do more than two directions?
What's that?
Can you do as many directions as you want? If you have all four directions.
Yeah. Here, it's just that they're kind of contradictory. You'd be stuck in the middle. So there's no overlap at all. You know. What's more, I want to add in a fourth condition. If this whole warning was a fake out and no IRS shows up at all, I just want to stay home at the time. So lo bo lo lakan velo lakan. Hareni kivneiri. I should just be like anybody else.
Why do you say that?
Yeah, really. Do you have to say that?
Certainly. Otherwise, you'll be nowhere. You want to be able to walk in either direction 2,000 amot.
So you'd be locked in otherwise? Even
no, but you'd be one direction or the other.
That's what I meant. Im
ba chacham mina mizrach. You could make it, of course, if you want to go in the direction that the guy showed up in. I mean, if there's a good daf yomi, let's say, to the east, the only way you can go there is by making an eruv. Okay, so then I want to go east. Mina ma'arav. If the good daf yomi is to the west, I want to go west. Eruv le ma'arav. Bo lekan lekan. I got to select between daf yomis. I'm not sure what I should. The Hebrew daf yomi, the English daf yomi. Lematom she'etze elech. I'll go wherever I want. And if it turns out there's no daf yomi, I'm just going to stay home and go to sleep. So I really give nay iri. That's true. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. That's true. The Daf Yomi is Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Well, that's not really true because in this latter case, if one of them turns out to be Rabbo, holeketz or Rabbo, then we don't say I changed my mind and I don't want to go to my Rav. No, we say that his das was at that time in Atzam that he was going to go to his Rav and not to some other Chacham. That's the normal das of a person. He can't now come later and say, well, I always left open a 2% chance. No, there's also the norm. Ima yushneim rabotav. If both of them are his teachers, that says the Chiddush over here, even if one of them is Rabbo Muvak, and the other one is just one of the Ramim that he learned from, then lamokav shiyotzeyele. Then indeed he can make up his mind. Now what's interesting is that Reb Yitzchak said, he had the lush in the Mishnah.
In this case, he goes out on Erev Shabbos and puts down two different areas.
Of course.
Is there any limit to when he can decide?
No, since it's Brera.
He can decide
during Shabbos. If he's at Benesh, there would be no problem. Hmm? If he decided Benesh, there would be no problem. The problem is, he's only going to decide later.
Before he
moves, obviously. The Asa Rabbi Yitzchak, when Rabbi Yitzchak came, he said the way I was Makabal as Mishnah is exactly the opposite. That in the case of the ratio where the Goy comes, he wants to go in the direction of the Goy. But where the Chacham comes, he wants to go the other direction.
That's one.
So he was Tani Yipcha Kula Masnisa. I mean, isn't that so? I mean, Kasha Nochrim or Nochrim, Kasha Nochrim or Nochrim. Nochrim or Nochrim, look, Kasha. I mean, look, it depends obviously what the case is. Ha, Befara Hagmina. One of them is talking about the IRS. Nobody wants to go towards the IRS. Everybody wants to go away. And how about Mori Damasa? The other means the guy is coming, means that the king is coming, the mayor is coming, whatever you want. You want to show up at a public function where it's necessary for you to be present.
The congressman.
Yeah, your congressman. Chocham ha-chocham lo kasha. There's also no problem in the chocham.
I guess even an old European individual related to told me that what happened was in Europe before the war, the Russian governments were so openly fascistic, anti-Semitic, there was mamish a heter not to pay the taxes, there was mamish openly fascistic, and everything like that. And what happened was some Yidim, after the war came to America, they did a little cloak, and then there was, they're just like that. No. They didn't distinguish between American government and
that's true.
What?
That's true. I had a very, very painful mice in my own family. Really? Yeah. Shouldn't have given myself. My uncle went into business with my grandfather during the war. He was a genius. What he did was that, an amazing thing to do. It was actually immediately after the war, he came up with a chop that all of the textile companies in Germany and Japan that were completely set for wartime production had no markets. So he took off instantly after the war, signed up with a guarantee. It wasn't all taken, the felt manufacturers. Felt manufacturers had no market. So he went, signed up all of the felt manufacturers in both Germany and Japan and cornered the world felt market with a guarantee of purchasing felt. And it was an insane thing to do, is he had no market. Right? So he had to create the market. Right? So what does he do? He hires this world-class designer to design a woman's line of felt clothing, which was unheard of. And he sells the idea to Macy's, sells the line to Macy's. And they advertise this thing on the New York Times. This is the latest thing, the new post-war designs, felt clothing for women. She gasped, why not? And he became a millionaire. Came out overnight. Nobody could get felt unless it was through him. Okay. Anyway, so I remember my father dashing off to Japan. I mean, he had like his brothers into it too. So I still remember the smell of the I can never get rid of that. No, the smell of the Japanese goods. Everything had a certain Japanese smell. All the lacquer that they would use on things. This went on for a couple of seasons. He had a shipment that was coming in from Japan that was perfectly good material, but arrived basically too late for him to do anything with it. But it's going to have to warehouse, right? So he decided he's going to claim the material was defective, and he's going to send it back, and so on. And so my father's said to him, you know, you can't do that. You're going to end up if you don't do things la locha, so then it's you're going to lose everything. He said, okay, you know what? I'm going to ask a shayla. Crazy story. I'm going to ask a shayla. Well, my father figures, what anybody that you ask will obviously tell you can't go against the children. What's the problem? So I said, so who should I ask? I said, ask whoever you want. He says, I'm going to go ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Fine, go ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe. This is the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. He goes and, oh, that's true. Forgot about that. Yeah. So he goes and he asks the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And because of this, what Aaron was just saying, that their concept was that any guy is out to kill you. Like, you know, there's something you can do to somehow or other be matzo miyadam. They had this idea, matzo miyadam. It's 100%. So he goes, asks the Babacher, and Babacher's right, and says, sa mitzvah. So they sent it back. And Lemaisa, that was it. That totally destroyed him. Because they went to court. They proved that there was nothing wrong with it.
Wow.
They broke the contract, which destroyed his monopoly, and every single felt manufacturer refused to sell him. Because they were furious at him with the way that he had controlled all the prices. But that went everything. But it's amazing how, like, a vision of a particular society just translates over. Yeah, it's a mitzvah. Why not do it? So what about the Chokhem HaChokhem? Chokhem HaChokhem, why are you running away from the Chokhem? Lokasha. Ha b'mosif pirkei. And ha b'makrishma. So the Chacham, who has giving a drasha, you want to go and you want to hear the drasha. But the other guy, there's a lot of different ways of learning.
That you're running from?
Yeah. No, what's the case of a Mishnah that you're running? Which is strange, because the pashtus is that you'd have to be running from whoever's coming on either side. Because, I mean, if we're comparing it to, you wanted to decide, which one am I going to? So you're saying, which one am I running from? So then they both have to be the same running fronts, which is very strange, because why would you be running from? Okay, so Rashi says, well, he's obviously very reluctantly, he says, Kach shamati, that the pshat running from is that one of these guys gives a drasha, and the other is a makre shma, which Rashi learns means a malamiti nekes. I don't want these guys to come, they start drinking a cup for money and this, what do I need? I want to go the other way, which is not exactly the pshat. It could be the pshat is like this. Of a meisiv pirkei, one is somebody that actually sits down and gives you some real information. The other guy gives you a drasha for 2 hours and it's all kriyashma. You don't have to go to him for the drasha. Understand? Those are the guys I want to run away from. Wherever they're coming from, I'm going the other direction. Rabbi Yudayner. Rabbi? So then you have to assume he was a rabbi. Why do the rabbi disagree with that? Sometime a person would rather have a friend than his rabbi. Obviously, said the rabbi. Maybe he'll get better learning done with chaveira. Oh, my rabbi. Rav says an amazing thing. Throw out the Mishnah. The Mishnah is wrong. The Mishnah is saying that basically we rely on Breira. And we know that that's not true. Why? Because Ayo has a Breita. Later on, the Gemara says, why is Ayo's Breita better than the Mishnah? Fine, but that's for later. But let's see the famous Breita of Ayo that we've already seen a number of times. Midatani Ayo. The Tani Ayo, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Adam Matznal Shnei Dvarim Echad. There is no way. Yo, but here, Rabbi Yehuda is assuming The Mishnah is saying Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing as Tanakhama. He's only saying that a guy would bother go to his Rebbe. Ayo said that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees entirely. A person cannot create an Erev based on Breira. Ela, im bar chacham le mizrach, eruv ala mizrach, im bar chacham le ma'arav, emuruv ala ma'arav, avalakan velakan lo. Now this doesn't make any sense, the way it's said. The way it's said is saying, you can make a t'nai in your Erev, to put down one Erev, and if it turns out that the chacham came to there, you can go there. But you can't have two Erevs and decide which one to go to.
That's what it's saying?
That's what it seems to be saying. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? What are you saying? When you say you can't have an Erev of both places and then decide or find out which one it was. So I assume you're saying Ein Breira. In other words, you have to choose your Erev. So what's the difference? Ein Breira between two Erevs or Ein Breira between staying at home and having an Erev? It's exactly the same situation. So then even the other case doesn't make sense. So then Mizrach L'Ma'arav Nami Ein Breira. You can't say, if the Chacham ends up coming to the east, so then it should be an Erev. And if not, my Malkam Shvizah should be at home. That's also Breira. There's no difference between two Erevs or a home and an Erev. Ella, what is the meaning of the case? Omer of Yochanan, you misunderstand the Breira. The only way to understand the Breira is not im b'chacham, Ella im kvar b'chacham. Meaning, I don't know whether he arrived or not. The telephone is down, so I can't find out. But I'll find out tomorrow. If he showed up the way they were saying he was going to come, then I want to go there. How am I going to find out? Somebody from there had an Erev in this direction who'll come to town. Let us know that there's a big drusha going on the other side of the Erev. So if that's true, that he was there at the time now that I'm making the Erev, that's okay. That's a condition.
That's not Breira.
That's not Breira. A condition is not Breira. I don't have to know at the time that I make the condition what the results are. But it's done. It's done, and I'll find out what was done. But to say, no, it's not done in a way that anyone knows. It's done in a way based on what will be, informing the past of what is Ki'ilu. That's called Breira. There's no such thing as Breira. Why? Because Ein Breira. So if that's the case, if it's only talking about Kfar B'chacham, then obviously Rav Yehuda disagrees with the whole Yesod of Breira. So how could the Mishnah be talking about Rav Yehuda Emir Moyechem Yem Rabbi? It's irrelevant. There can't be such a thing. Ask the Gemara, why don't we throw out Ayo instead of throwing out the Mishnah? I mean, Amrabah. Leta lede ayo mimat nitin. Does it make more sense to rely on our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, according to Rav Yehuda, yes, Breira. And ayo obviously made a mistake. Does the Gemara know? Dahashamina leila Rav Yehuda delet le Breira. We have clear indication that ayo is correct, that Rav Yehuda does not owe Breira. That we can prove independently from other cases. Therefore, the only way to understand Rav Yehuda's involvement of the year is not that it's huvrar hadavar, but rather that it already took place, and therefore he couldn't have been talking about the same case as the Tanakam in our Mishnah. We've already done, but as you will recall, it's a sort of a long sugya to get to the final proof that Rav Yehuda doesn't hold Breira. So that we'll do tomorrow.